Welcome to KSKA's A Closer Look. I'm Len Anderson. Today, we present the second of two programs on the ballot measure appearing in the August 24th primary election. The first in the series was aired August 10th and posted on our KSKA website with the title, A Closer Look, Ballot Measure 1. We now focus on ballot measure number 2, which proponents say restores parental rights. Opponents describe it as a government intrusion into family situations. Today, on A Closer Look, representatives from both sides will present their positions on the ballot proposal. The measure is entitled, Abortion for Minor Requires Notice to or Consent from Parent or Guardian or Through Judicial Bypass. The ballot explanation under the title states, The ballot explanation beneath the title states that under current law, a female under 18 years of age may have an abortion without parental notification. Ballot Measure 2 would establish detailed notification procedures by the doctor before the abortion could take place. If the parents consent, the 48-hour required delay could be waived. The minor could go to court seeking authorization for an abortion without giving notice to her parent or guardian. In such cases of abuse, both the woman with an adult relative or authorized official with personal knowledge of her situation would need to appear at the court as well. The measure would make it a felony for a doctor to perform an abortion on a woman under 18 without first providing notification. Later, the doctor would have to submit reports. We begin our presentation of the two sides on the ballot measure with Bernadette Wilson. Wilson is the campaign manager of Alaskans for Parental Rights, the major group working for passage of the measure. We spoke to her at the organization's Midtown Anchorage office. We began with a background of Ballot Measure 2.
The proposition came about after an incident in 1997. We had a parental consent law on the books. The state was sued. We were told that it was unconstitutional, that it violated a teenager's right to privacy. So on and on we went. Here we are 13 years later, after collecting nearly 50,000 signatures by the citizens of the state of Alaska. We got the courts here to approve those signatures. We made it onto the ballot. And so here we are. We will vote on August 24th. We do not go into the general. August 24th is the beginning and the end.
And just so we get this out of the way, you feel that it is constitutional?
Yes, we do feel that parental notification is constitutional.
What does the ballot measure do if it comes into effect?
Well, the ballot measure will pose the question to voters. If a minor child has an abortion, should the parent be notified? Does the parent have a right to be notified? We say yes. This would be 48 hours before the abortion is performed. So that, of course, obviously, if this becomes law, now a physician would have to notify a parent 48 hours before performing an abortion. If the parent were to give consent, it would waive the waiting period of 48 hours. And in the event that there is not a parent involved, there is an affidavit or judicial bypass, which would in turn waive parental notification.
What about a guardian status, a foster child?
This is a parent or legal guardian. If they are in an unhealthy home environment and they need an affidavit signed, that affidavit could be signed by a grandparent. It could be signed by an older sibling. So there are options there to protect children in that environment.
What's some of the reasoning behind this measure?
Well, I mean, right off the bat, I think common sense tells you that parents have a right to be notified. You look at laws right now, everything from getting, you know, from a child getting her ears pierced to taking an Advil to going on a field trip. You know, your child cannot go on a field trip unless that parent signs a permission slip. That a physician cannot perform, you know, a dentist couldn't perform any type of procedure on a minor child without the parent knowing. They cannot get a tattoo. They can't go into a rated R movie without a parent being there. So it's simply common sense. This is that parent's child. They have a right to know. You know, we look at one of our arguments is not only do parents have a right to know, but let's talk about the health and safety of that teenager, especially that, you know, we have people ask all the time, well, what about these kids that have been raped or abused? Now, while that is a very small percentage, those kids are very important. So, Let's talk about those kids that have been raped or abused. Right now, under Alaska law, because there is no notification law, we can take a 14-year-old, you know, her father could rape her, take her in to have an abortion, and we turn around and we send her right back into that home environment. That rape continues for yet another day, another week, another month. With this law, that physician would have to ask questions. And if something does come up and we find out this child does come from a poor environment, then we can take the necessary steps to remove that child from that home environment. So even looking at it from the health and safety of that teenager, I mean, you have that aspect of it. You have, you know, right now, we have nothing to protect this child. Let's say they go in and have an abortion and something comes about because of it. Whether it's an infection, are they allergic to something? What happens when they're psychological, you know, if they start to suffer psychological depression? There is no one there that knows to be alerted that this infection needs to be treated, that this depression needs to be treated. This would help so that we're looking out for the safety and well-being of those kids. It's important to note that this is not a consent law. It is a notification law, and it is notification on the premises that this child does not have the maturity or the wherewithal to go into a doctor and say, this is what I'm allergic to, and if I, you know, if an infection happens, here's X, Y, and Z. I mean, that child can't even give permission to that physician to perform any other necessary surgery that may be important if something bad were to happen. So you look at, I mean, that's another aspect of it. The third thing that we hear very frequently is, well, it's a government mandate. Well, the government mandate that is what we have right now. Right now, the government is telling you what you can and cannot know about your child's life. A yes vote does not put into law any mandate. A yes vote gets rid of the government mandate that we have right now. It gets the government, it gets Planned Parenthood out of your living room so that you have the right to communicate with your minor child. It is the government protecting your constitutional right, getting rid of the mandate and putting parents back in their appropriate place to rear their children.
If a physician notifies the parents of a young lady and they say no, but she says yes, what happens?
Then the child can still have that abortion. This is not, like I said, this is not consent. It is only notification. So if we have a 16-year-old, you know, the physician contacts the mother and says, hey, your daughter is here to have an abortion. Mom says, well, no, she can't. That is not what this law is. It is simply notification. As long as that parent has been notified, that child can still have the abortion.
This is A Closer Look, a production of KSKA FM. On this edition of A Closer Look, we're focusing on ballot measure 2 in the August 24th primary. You just heard Bernadette Wilson, campaign manager of Alaskans for Parental Rights, the group seeking voter approval of the measure. Ballot Measure 2 would require parental or guardian notification if a female under 18 years of age contacts a doctor in order to arrange an abortion. That notification must occur 48 hours before the procedure. If the girl is in an abusive family situation, the minor could go to court to authorize an abortion without giving notice to her parent or guardian. In such cases, the woman, with an adult relative or an authorized official with personal knowledge of her situation, would need to appear at the court as well. The measure also makes it a felony for a doctor to perform an abortion on a woman under 18 years of age without first providing notification. The doctor would later have to submit reports. At one point, opponents of Ballot Measure 2 unsuccessfully challenged the process and clarity of the initiative's signature campaign. They said that those seeking signatures did not tell people that the measure called for legal punishment of doctors who do not comply. Wilson responds.
What they were looking at is when people signed the petition, was it made clear to them that the doctor would, that there would be punishment or a fine for a doctor not following the parental notification laws. Now, that seems like an absolutely ridiculous argument to us. Right now, if you're a doctor and you violate any law, of course you are subject to the penalties and fines imposed. That's true right now in every other area of medicine. If you're a doctor and you violate the law, of course, we know that. That goes without say. So anytime that you break the law, you're subject to the penalties.
Bernadette Wilson, campaign manager of Alaskans for Parental Rights, vote yes on 2. On the opposite side of the ballot measure 2 issue is Rhiannon Good, campaign manager for Alaskans Against Government Mandates, vote no on 2.
I'm a mom, so I understand that parental notification on its surface sounds like a good idea. Parents rightfully want their teens to come to them when they're facing a crisis situation because we want to help them and we want to get them through it and be there for them. And for those parents who think, well, look, I just want my teen to come to me, the good news is that chances are they will. Ballot Measure 2 doesn't affect the majority of teens because the majority of teens facing an unplanned pregnancy are already involving a parent or another trusted adult when they're facing that type of a situation. So our concern is for those teens, and we're living in the real world, and in the real world there are teens who absolutely cannot go to a parent. And it's our position that a government mandate, you can't mandate good family communication where it doesn't already exist.
What would be an example?
Well, we know there's teens that are facing troubled homes. They may be facing abuse at home. Their homes may have drug or alcohol problems. They could be facing worse situations. And for those teens, the thought of going to their parents and having a note sent home to their parents or a doctor calling their parents, that's terrifying. And these are scared teens to begin with, and now they're pregnant. They are scared and they are desperate. And we think that scared, desperate teens do scary and desperate things.
What about, there's an alternative. You can work through legal system.
And I don't think what these teens need is the courts. They don't need a judicial bypass or a waiver. It doesn't work for them. You're asking a teen who is scared and desperate and pregnant to go to a judge and discuss the most intimate details of her personal life, or you're asking her to sign and notarize a waiver detailing her abuse from her parents, basically turn her parents in writing. And then beyond that, it's not just her doing it. She then has to get someone from a very, very short list of people that are deemed acceptable by this law to also sign and notarize a waiver detailing that abuse. And I think that presents an insurmountable barrier to many teens who are coming from troubled homes to begin with. I mean, she doesn't need a court. She doesn't need a judge. She needs quality medical care, and she needs counseling, and she needs it right away.
The opponents have said, if they don't report it to a legal situation, you're sending it back to the same environment, just not pregnant.
Well, and it's not, this isn't a reporting law. This is a parental notification. So this is sending a note home to the parents. There's already reporting laws in place if a teen is facing abuse. So if a teen doesn't come to a doctor to get medical care because she's afraid of a note going home to her parents, then we never get to see her to actually report it to law enforcement if she is being abused.
Is it being reported now?
Organizations like Planned Parenthood and other doctors who perform these procedures, they take their duty to report situations of suspected abuse very, very seriously. And Planned Parenthood routinely works with law enforcement, and they routinely work with social services if they suspect any abuse, whether it's by a client's partner or suspected abuse from her family. And we do take that very, very seriously.
And so the one incident that's reported that seems now to have become what is regarded as a Planned Parenthood pattern was an exception that was handled.
And that was over 10 years ago, and that staff member is no longer with us, and all of our staff were immediately retrained. We've never had an incident of that here in Alaska again. And, you know, to those who accuse us of that, it's not true, and it actually offends me because I've spent a good deal of my life working with survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, and to think that I would ever work with an organization at all who could protect people who prey upon women, actually, you know, it personally offends me.
You're listening to part of KSKA's primary election coverage. On this edition of A Closer Look, we're presenting the two sides of Ballot Measure 2 entitled Abortion for Minor Requires Notice to or Consent from Parent or Guardian or Through Judicial Bypass. Earlier in the program, we heard from Bernadette Wilson, representing the Vote Yes on Measure 2 group. Now we're presenting Rhiannon Good, campaign manager of the Vote No on 2 organization. At the end of A Closer Look, Wilson and Good will present brief summaries of their respective positions. If you missed the first part of this program or would like to hear it again in its entirety, you can do so by going to our website, kska.org. There you will also find links to the websites of both Alaskans for Parental Rights, Vote Yes on 2, and Alaskans Against Government Mandates, Vote No on 2. You will also find a posting of our earlier A Closer Look on Ballot Measure 1. We now return to Rhiannon Good. We asked her how many under 18-year-old teens have abortions each year.
In 2009, that was under 150 in the entire state of Alaska.
Now, getting on to the terminology warfare. In your advertisements, Proposition 2 is a government mandate inserting itself into the family. The opposition says, no, what exists now is a government mandate inserting Planned Parenthood in the family.
You know, it's our belief that putting bureaucrats and the courts in the middle of Alaskan families' decisions is not a good idea, and it's going to deter teens from seeking medical care and have them delay care, which is not a good idea during a pregnancy. And good family communication starts when your kids are young, long before they're facing an unplanned pregnancy. And a government mandate, the government can't force a family to communicate. They can't mandate good family communication if it doesn't already exist.
Is there aftercare?
There is aftercare, and we do refer to counseling as well. There's a lot of options for these women as far as counseling and aftercare. We need them to come to us, and we need them to get that care. And instead of delaying it, which is our fear. I mean, teens are already twice as likely as adults to delay a diagnosis of pregnancy. So then to delay that care even further makes our situation even more dangerous. And we've been having a lot of one-on-one conversations with voters. And by and large, they get it. You have that first reaction, that first parent reaction of, I want my teen to come to me. And when you talk further and you talk about, you step outside your family a little bit and start talking about those teens who can't go to their parents, people get it. They understand, and they're willing to step outside of their own families and believe that their teens will come to them like most teens do. The Alaska chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics released a position paper opposing ballot measure 2, and their position is really that the danger of parental notification laws, and they've seen it in other states, is that teens really do delay going in to get medical care. And the American Academy of Pediatrics is not alone in this. It's the American Medical Association, the Society for Adolescent Medicine, the American Public Health Association, and the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. They've all come to the same conclusion that parental notification laws put teens at risk, and they are not a good idea.
You're listening to A Closer Look. Today we're featuring Ballot Measure 2 in the August 24th primary. It bears the title, Abortion for Minor Requires Notice to or Consent from Parent or Guardian or Through Judicial Bypass. It would require doctors to notify parents or guardians of a young woman under the age of 18 at least 48 hours before an abortion was performed. Or the young woman could go through the judicial system if her personal situation warranted. We conclude our Ballot Measure 2 presentation with each side giving a brief summary of their positions. Because the Vote Yes group began the program, the Alaskans Against Government Mandates Vote No on 2 group and Rhiannon Good will give the first summary.
Ballot Measure 2 is a bad idea because the government simply cannot mandate family communication. Most teens already talk to a parent or another trusted adult when they're facing this type of situation. And Ballot Measure 2 puts bureaucrats and the courts right in the middle of our living rooms and puts Alaska's most vulnerable teens at risk. And that is why organizations that actually care for teens, like the Alaska Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, the National Association of Social Workers, Alaska Chapter, the YWCA, and Planned Parenthood, have joined nurses, doctors, teachers, counselors, and parents all over Alaska in urging voters to say no to Measure 2 on August 24th.
Next, Alaskans for Parental Rights spokeswoman Bernadette Wilson's closing summary for voting yes on ballot measure 2.
The Yes On 2 campaign, we are pushing for a yes vote because we agree. We are against government mandates. We are for protecting teen health. What we are trying to do is to get rid of the government mandate that we have right now that tells you what you can and cannot know about your daughter's life. This is a common sense argument. Let's get rid of the government mandates. Let's protect those kids, even those that are in the most fragile of situations, and let's get out and vote yes on ballot measure number 2 on August 24th.
Once again, the full title for ballot measure 2 is Abortion for Minor Requires Notice to or Consent from Parent or Guardian or Through Judicial Bypass. Besides posting this program on our website, kska.org, we are also providing links to the websites of both Alaskans for Parental Rights and Alaskans Against Government Mandates. This Thursday at 2 p.m. on KSKA, Hometown Alaska will feature an hour-long call-in opportunity on ballot measure 2 as part of our continuing pre-primary election coverage. A Closer Look is a production of KSKA Anchorage. For KSKA, this is Len Anderson, thanking you for listening.